North Campus, would you help me welcome all of the campuses that are joining with us today? Come on, let's make them feel welcome. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad that you are where you're at today. Today's a very special day for one pastoral family in our churches, and that is Pastors Bill and Ann Luther at our South Campus today, who serve on staff there. Tomorrow they celebrate 50 years of ministry. So let's give it up at every campus for Pastors Bill and Ann Luther. 50 years of ministry, that's pretty awesome. And Pastor Luther is the one who hired me fresh out of college and gave me my start in ministry. And so I just want to say thank you, guys. And we are so glad for everything you've done and all the lives that you've made a difference in. We are continuing in this series of Carpe Diem, but before we get there, would you take your Bible and let's make our confession together? Maybe you got it downloaded on a phone or something. Hold that up, all right? But let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I love seeing more and more Bibles come into church since we started doing this, all right? As you're turning to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, let me just remind all of us campuses as well, beginning next Sunday, we start a new series called I'm In, but also next Sunday, we begin 21 days of prayer for the harvest, and there's My Targets for God's Blessing. Every campus should have these. If you haven't got one of these, please get one today before you leave. They'll be on a table here at North Campus, or there'll be a blade for you to get them, and it's a place you can write down the names of people you're going to be praying for. There's some particular scriptures we want you praying over them, and we're believing God for a great increase and a great harvest as we go into the fall. Amen? Now, we begin talking about this whole subject of carpe diem, which means just seize the day. And we look there in the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, where Jesus says, this is how I want you to pray, or this is how I want you to seize the day. And we began 4 weeks ago talking about that, and we've been working our way through what is called the Lord's Prayer. And we all know it, but I'm going to go through it again. It just says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we've talked, then, beginning in this process of looking at seizing our day, that the Lord didn't just want us to repeat this, but that each part of that prayer genuinely has a way of moving us into the place where we grab a hold of what God wants for that day and we establish His kingdom. We started off talking about Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We talked about hallowing the name of God. Your kingdom come. We talked about establishing God's kingdom in our lives, in our family, in our churches, in our nation, in our world, how we go about doing that. Last week we talked about give us this day our daily bread. How many of you need some daily bread? Right? Let me throw this in. I didn't talk about this last week. The scripture says that one aspect of your daily bread, the Bible says that healing or health is the children's bread. That's free. Didn't cost any extra. All right? And so what I would encourage you to do is that when you're praying for your daily provision, you're also praying for health for your body as well. And then he said, forgive us our debts. And that's where we kind of slowed down last week because we all got under conviction. Because he said we got to forgive. If we want to be forgiven, we got to forgive, right? And we dealt with that whole aspect of how that we go about forgiving others so that we can be forgiven. And today we're going to wrap it all up and talk about the whole aspect of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, for years when I would read this part of the passage that said, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one, I always thought that was, I couldn't wrap my brain around it because I knew that the scripture said that God could not be tempted and neither does he tempt any one of us. And so I thought, well, why should I be praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation if you can't be tempted and you don't tempt? So what's that whole thing about? And then I remember studying the prayer of Jabez. We've done this before here, where Jabez says, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me. And listen to how Jabez phrased it. He said, and that you would keep me from evil, that I would not cause pain. And I go, oh, I like that. That means I won't even get into temptation. I don't know about you. I just soon not have any temptation. What's wrong with y'all? All right? If I didn't have any temptation, I would be in such good shape. There wouldn't be an extra pound on my body. Glory to God. And as I thought about it, I said, okay, that's great, but how do I do this? And I got to thinking, how many of you have a GPS in your car? You got a Garmin or something that you got one of those? All right. How many of you know that in that, you can, if you don't know this, let me help you. You can go into the menu and you can set that it won't go certain places. If you don't want to go on toll roads, which I hate toll roads, you can enter that in and say no toll roads. If you don't want to get on the interstate, you can put in there no interstates. And now it will lead you away, are you ready? From the, you won't even go by that. And that's what I think that this whole aspect here is that we are programming the GPS of our life and saying, Lord, today I don't even want to go by temptation. I don't even want to go down that road. I want you to lead me not into temptation. And one of the greatest ways that I know to do that is found in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. And I won't read it to you, but the scripture is listed there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18, where the apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he goes down into this aspect there and he says, put on the whole armor of God. And then he begins to list. Now the apostle Paul at this point is in prison and I think he's looking at a Roman centurion, and he begins to list the aspects of the different armor that we're to put on. And so I want to talk about how that we do that in our prayer time on a daily basis. He says, first of all, that we are to have our loins girt about with truth, okay? Now that's kind of an old understanding. He said, what does that mean? Well, let's just do it this way. What he is saying is that we need to put on a belt of truth. All right, does that make more sense? We put on a belt of truth. The Roman soldier of that day wore a tunic that was kind of long, and he would take that belt and he would put that on, and it would help pull that tunic up where he could go into battle a little bit better. But also, how many of you know that on that belt is the scabbard for the sword? See, here's what I have found. I have found a whole lot of Christians don't know when to put their sword up. They just go around cutting people. All right? But the Lord says, start off with this belt of truth. Let truth be the component that we start with in our life, that we bring everything through the grid of truth, and it's also going to be that place where you're going to put the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and that's truth as well, and you're going to operate in that. So he says, first of all, when you pray, put on the belt of truth. Then he says, take the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I got to thinking about the breastplate of righteousness, and I looked it up. That covered the upper part of the torso. It protected the heart, it protected the lungs, it protected the internal organs there. And I got to thinking about in our lives how many of us get diseased, and I'm not talking about naturally, we get diseased on the inside and it kills us on the outside. Why? Because we don't have righteousness. Righteousness just means doing the right thing, doing the right acts that God wants us to do. And so the Word of God tells us that as we're praying, as I'm establishing my GPS for the day, I am saying today I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And Lord, I'm asking you today, let righteousness rule and reign in my heart. Amen? How many of you want righteousness in your life? Amen. If you say amen, I preach better. Okay? Then he goes on to say, and he says, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we you know, in our Western society, we don't think much about shoes. But if you go to a developing nation, you will find out that there's all kinds of things that happen to people's bodies because they don't have shoes. There's diseases that get in their body. There's insects that get there. There's all kinds of things that happen. Plus, not only that, they can get a wound on their foot because they step on the wrong thing. You know, as Americans, we probably got, most of you ladies got at least 112 pair of shoes in your closet. Right? Praise God. I'm not against it. I'm just saying. And what I found is that as you begin to study this, it says that our feet are shod, or we put on the shoes, which are the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I thought, what does that mean? And so I begin to just do some research and begin to look at it. First of all, the word gospel means good news. All right? Don't forget it. The word gospel means good news. So here's what the Lord is saying to us. Because you have come into relationship with Jesus Christ, when you are going into battle, you can have peace because the good news of the kingdom of God is that now you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so when I know that, now I'm able to say, you know what, praise God, I'm going to stand. And not only that, those shoes, they tell us that the Roman soldier would take and they would embed in the bottom of their shoes glass or nails or whatever, so that when they got in hand-to-hand combat, that they could stand and they could put their feet down and kind of plug into the ground and they wouldn't be pushed back. How many of you know that in the day and age that we live in, we don't need to be going backwards, we need to be going forward in the everything that God has for us as a people and as children of God, called by God to do what we're called to. So we just stand. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, when you've done all to stand, do what? Stand, right? Well, I do that by taking the gospel of peace. Lord, I just thank you today that there is peace that's over my life. I thank you today that no matter what's happening around me, there's a peace that passeth understanding. And you're just praying that as you go along. Then it says, take the shield of faith. And the first service today, I forgot the shield of faith. So I'm going to preach twice as long about the shield of faith. No, I'm kidding. The shield of faith, the Bible says, wherewith we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The shield of faith in that day, the shield in that day was about 3 to 3.5 feet long, and it was made out of either wood that was covered in leather, or it was a bronze shield. And they would go into battle, and that infantryman would hold that shield, and it would protect him because they're firing darts from the enemy. They're firing arrows that they have dipped in pitch, and then they lit them on fire, and they would shoot them, and they would hold that there. And in fact, if you've ever seen movies where the Roman army go, they could literally link their shields together and bring protection. Now, that's a beautiful picture of what happens in the church. When I come alongside of other brothers and sisters in Christ and I link my faith with them, then I am, that's why we need a local church, then that's when I am protected from the fiery darts of the enemy. But faith is the opposite of fear. I can't walk around in fear and believe that God is going to do great and powerful things in my life. I've got to take the shield of faith. I've got to say, if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. You believe that today? God's on your side. You're going to be okay. So you take that shield of faith. And then it said, take the helmet of salvation. Let me ask you a question today. In your life, I won't ask about anybody else's life, but in your life today, where does all sin start? Some of you got it. It starts right up here, doesn't it? Every sin that's committed starts in your brain. You said, oh, Pastor, I just don't know what happened to me. I just fell in sin. You didn't fall in sin. Pastor, I don't know how. I just woke up and I was in bed with that woman. I don't know what happened. Pastor, I don't know what happened. I just found out I was laying in the ditch drunk. I just don't know how that. I can tell you how that happened. Y'all all right? I don't know why I gossip so much, Pastor. It just came out. I can tell you why. Right here, between your two ears, is where it happened. But the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation. Well, what does that do? That protects my mind. Lord, today, let my mind be stayed on you. The Bible says, think on these things. Things which are pure, those things which are lovely, those things which are of good report. Let's think on them. And in fact, part of that shield came along to the side so that you didn't get diverted. I want to tell you, in our society today, it's easy to be diverted. It's hard. The psalmist said it this way. He said, I've made a covenant with my eyes so I won't sin against God. Well, I'm going to tell you, we live in a world that it's hard to keep that covenant. Are y'all okay? Sherry and I were just at the Hillsong Conference this past week, and Zach and Hannah went with us, and we were in Times Square one day, and I just couldn't. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I've been in New York many times, but I could not believe the debauchery that's in Times Square now. That if I had a little kid, I'd want to punch somebody because of the nudity and all the stuff that's right in the middle of Times Square. And we literally had to turn more than once and go another way because of just what's there. Well, that's what the scripture is saying to us. Look, make sure you're protecting your mind when you're praying. Lord, protect me today. Keep my eyes on what they ought to be looking at. And listen, on your phone, on your tablet, you can inadvertently hit stuff. Well, glory to God. And you know what so many of us don't understand is that the enemy, the Bible says, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour, destroy you. He says, everybody else is doing it. We go, okay, everybody else is doing it. And then 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later, we're still struggling with what everybody else has moved on from. Because the enemy wants to destroy. So we just say, Lord, today, protect my mind, protect my thoughts. Don't let me get pulled away. Don't let me look at things I shouldn't be looking at. Let me be in the right place. And then he goes on and says, and the last part of it, everything else has been defensive. Now he says, and take the sword of the Spirit. And then he goes on and tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. He says, which is the Word of God. All right? How many of you, let me ask a question, and go ahead and be honest today. And if you can't be honest, I'll just ask the campuses to be honest, all right? How many of you have ever been in a point of temptation and you've prayed about it at that moment? Come on, hold your hand up. Thank you for being honest. All right? Because evidently some of you were praying right then. No, I'm kidding. Let me tell you something. When you get in the moment of temptation, it's too late to pray. Oh, you missed it. You said, no, Lord, the Bible tells me I ought to pray. No, the Bible tells you need to pray before then. All right? When you get in the midst of temptation, the scripture's quite clear how to handle that. Jesus, the Bible says, has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. The enemy shows up, Satan shows up in a direct confrontation with Jesus. And remember Jesus before he went in 40 days in the temptation in the wilderness, the scripture says that he was baptized of John, and there's this great thing that happens there. John baptizes Jesus, and there's this voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well please, right? So Jesus goes in for 40 days. He comes out. Satan's there. And watch what Satan does. The first thing that Satan says to him is, what? Listen, he says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Let me tell you something, and this is not the point of what I'm going to talk about. But every time God tells you something, the enemy is going to attack you at that point. God had just said, this is my beloved Son, and Satan shows up and says, if you really are who you say you are, all right? Yeah, I got this word, Pastor. I had this dream. I believe God said this. Let me just help you. The enemy's going to come up, and he's going to test you right at that point of what God told you you were going to do. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus do? He didn't say, hang on, devil, let me pray. That's what we do. And then wonder why we always fail. We wonder why we can't defeat temptation. We can't defeat temptation because we don't do what the Scripture says. The Word of God says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What did Jesus do? Man shall not, he quotes Scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan goes, shoot, lost that one. He said, what do we do now? He said, okay, I'm going to take him to the top of the temple. And he says, the scripture says, now the devil starts quoting scripture. Let me help some of you. You ready? Just because somebody quotes scripture doesn't mean they're of God. Some of you need to understand that. All right? The devil can quote scripture. And he's quoting scripture now. He says, well, if you really are the Son of God, the scripture says, even if you dash your foot against a stone, the angels will lift you up. And what does Jesus say at that point? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, he comes back with scripture, takes him again. Jesus has come for one purpose to this earth. And the purpose that Jesus came was to buy back the kingdoms of this world. And Satan takes him and he shows him all the kingdoms. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, you don't have to go to Calvary. He said, you can buy, I'll give it to you. And what does Jesus say? Jesus once again quotes the word, right? He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Every time that the enemy came in, Jesus used scripture. Now, if Jesus needed to use scripture, man, I better learn some scripture. Amen. Now, let me help you. So we put on the armor of God. In fact, I can remember when we take our kids to school when they were little, and Sherry and be in the car, and we'd go through, and we'd just go through the whole armor of God with our kids. We just say, today we're putting on, our feet, child preparation, God's feet, helmet, and stuff. We'd go through the whole thing with our kids just on the way to school to make sure they were ready. But the Word of God shows us that we can build a hedge of protection about our family. And so I want you to take your Bibles, or you can look at the screen. The book of Psalm, the 91st chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses, a little bit longer than I normally do, but I want you to see this because I want to help you to build a hedge about your family. How many of you don't want your family destroyed? Amen? You don't want your kids to wind up in the ditch of life somehow, right? You don't want your marriage to wind up in a divorce court? Amen? I wonder what would happen to us if we would spend some preventative. Okay, let's read. Psalm 91, beginning in verse 9, says, if you say the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, listen what God says, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. This is the passage the enemy quoted, Satan quoted. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Now, who's the great lion and the serpent? Well, that's Satan. Because he loves me, says the Lord. Now, he gives us some because of why this is going to happen. Because he loves me, said the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Does anybody get this? I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that. I want that for myself. I want that for my family. And so the Lord says there's a way to do that. There's a way to have that. There are three becauses that he lists here in Scripture that I want to give you quickly. First of all, he says this is going to be for you. You can claim this as your heritage if you make, because he has made the Lord his habitation. All right? Remember what David said in the 23rd Psalm? He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord how long? Forever, always. It's just going to continue. It's never going to stop. He said, I'm going to make the Lord my habitation. That's where, to those of us today who have asked Jesus Christ to become our Lord and Savior, we have said, Lord, we want you to be our habitation. There may be some of you who are watching today, listening to me, some of you who are here with me at North Campus, and as you look at your life today, you'd have to say, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that I've made the Lord my habitation. Maybe I did as a child, but I've gotten away from that. Maybe, the term we use, maybe I've kind of backslid a little bit, or maybe I never asked him into my life. Well, I want to tell you, before you leave today, you're going to have the opportunity to make the Lord your habitation and to put this hedge, not only about you, but you're going to be able to put this hedge about your family to see what God can do for you. Amen? And that's what we want to see. And he said, so I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you if you make me your habitation. Then he says, I'm going to do this for you because he or we have set our love upon him. Okay? Because he has set his love upon me. Now we all know the scripture. The Bible says God first loved who? Us. Right? He first loved us. But now, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but maybe in your dating life, you fell in love with somebody. But they weren't in love with you. In fact, they played you a song that said, what's love? Next week, we're going to be talking about listening to the right kind of music. No, I'm kidding. All right. I had somebody the other day said, I asked them three times to marry me. And finally, they just gave in. Well, hey, it doesn't matter how you get it done, Bubba. Right? Now listen to what I'm going to say. In the midst of life, God's saying to us, listen, I'll put a hedge about you if you'll set your love on me. If you just get up and say, Lord, today, I'm going to be in love with you. I'm just letting you know today, God, I'm going to love you more than I love anything else on this earth. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? So he says, because we've set our love on him. And then thirdly, it says, because he has known my name. You know what the Bible says is the most powerful name on earth? You know what it is? Anybody know what the most powerful name on earth is? It's not President Obama. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Hillary. The most powerful name on earth is the name of Jesus. The scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that's going to happen one day in eternity soon to come. But I also believe it operates right now. That's what happens. When we go into the waters of baptism and receive the name of the Lord in those waters, we now have the authority to take that name. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs thereinto. And we're made safe. Amen. And so because of that, I can just put this hedge about myself, about my family, and know that God's with me. And then we've got some things in the last part of this, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but that we want you to declare. And here's why. Because I know some of you don't like talking out loud. You say, I meditate, I pray, I got it. You think praying out loud is a Pentecostal thing, and it really isn't. It's a Bible thing. Amen. The Bible says there's power of life and death in the tongue. Amen. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says you will declare a thing and it will come to pass. You will decree it and it will happen. All right? So there are some declarations that we put in there. One of them is that we declare, Lord, you are my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, and in you will I trust. Amen. And so in that moment, we're just saying, this is what I'm declaring today. And then we close out the prayer. And it's kind of like we begin the prayer. It's kind of we wind our way all back. For his is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And so as we begin to talk about the kingdom here, we begin to praise the Lord because he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of love and light. And we know that love and light is into the kingdom of God. And so now we're just thinking, Lord, I just thank you today. I bless you today. And then there's a faith declaration there. I hope you got it. There's a faith declaration there that says, the Lord shall preserve me from every evil work and preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. And you know what? Just making that confession. We're not wanting you to just do things by rote, but making that confession, which is based on the word of God, declares something not only to the enemy, but it declares something to yourself that you can hear. And then you just begin to praise him. Lord, I just praise you today because you have invited me to participate in your kingdom. The Bible says that I am made an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so we just thank him for a few minutes there and however long it takes as you're doing that. And then we move on. It says, for thine is the kingdom and then the power. How many of you remember that Jesus told at the Mount of Ascension, he said, go and wait until you are endued with power. The word is dunamis. It's the root word for where we get dynamite. He said, wait until you are endued with power from on high. And so we begin to praise the Lord because he has invited us to be participants in his power. How do I receive that? I receive the power through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I have the power of God. The dunamis of the Spirit is down inside of me so that I can operate against what the enemy is. And then we begin to meditate upon the power of God. we just begin to think about the power of God. He was able to speak the worlds into existence. He spoke solar systems into existence. And you know what? I just encourage you to do this. Measure your problem against His power, against the miraculous power of God. And I want to tell you, when you begin to do that, you're going to begin to see the power and the glory of God in your life. And there's a faith declaration there. I won't go through that for the sake of time, but there's a faith declaration there that you can make in that moment as well. And then we come to the last part there. We would talk about the glory. Now remember, we're seizing the day. We're bringing everything into alignment with what God can say in our lives. And so we begin to talk about His glory. And if I want to know what the glory of God is, what I have to do is I have to look at the character and the ways of God exhibited through Jesus Christ. If I want to know what the glory of God's all about, it's what Jesus exhibited upon this earth, okay? So it's the character of Jesus upon this earth. Now let me say this to you. How many of you know that Jesus never met a sickness He liked? Right? He never met a situation of lack that He said, well, that's okay, just be in lack. And no, if it was 5,000 people needing to eat, He was making, you know, what I call, loaves and fishes Sunday and fish and chips, and He's passing them out and bringing them to everybody. If He's needing to pay taxes, He's sending Peter to get a line and a hook and catch a fish, and in the mouth is a gold coin. He's always doing that, and that's what He's saying to us. He has asked us to participate in His glory. I wonder what would happen, and we'll wrap this up. I wonder what would happen if believers would participate in the glory of God. He's asked you to. We're saying, Lord, transform me. Make me what You want to be. Renew my mind. Let me think Your thoughts. Let me live Your way, and let me do what You've called me to do. And as you're praying that, we just ask the Lord to help us to walk worthy of Him and to help us to serve Him as He deserves to be served. I talked a little bit about this last week, about how that often, and the Lord's been really dealing with me about talking about this a little bit more, and even in my own life, that we need to be careful that we don't take the grace of God for license. Amen? In other words, that we respect and honor the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Now, yes, God will forgive you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. God will forgive you. But we don't just need to live all week long just saying, okay, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God, and then show up on Sunday and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Amen? We need to realize that every time that we participate in sin, that we have to trample through the blood of Jesus that was shed for us to get out there where the enemy destroys us. Amen. And then lastly, we just praise Him and give Him glory. God, I just thank You. I bless You. I honor You for who You are. Now, here's what I want you to do. Take your notes. Take your Bibles. Shut them, because I want to take about 3 minutes with you, and I want to talk to you. Next week, next Sunday, we begin 21 days of prayer for the harvest at every campus. And we're believing God's going to change lives. We're believing people are going to come into the kingdom of God at a rate that maybe we've never seen before. But here's what I want to tell you. If we don't start praying now, it's never going to happen. The Bible says God looked for a person who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. In other words, He said, I don't want to send judgment. I don't want to do things. But He said, I'm looking for somebody who will intercede, who will pray. I wonder what would happen if every Love and Truth church, if a majority of us begin to seize the day. You say, Pastor, I don't have time. Let me ask you a question, and I'd like some participation in this. How many of you drive to work, those of you watching as well as those of you here? Would you just hold your hand up? You drive to work. You don't take a mule or a whatever. Okay, let me ask another question. How many of you drive at least 10 minutes one way to work? You drive, some of you, a lot longer, about 10 minutes. Now think about this just for a minute. What if, instead of you listening to whoever and, you know, doing all the stuff, and you know, I've got Steve Harvey in the morning, or you know, whatever. You reach over there and you click it. And on your way to work, those 10 minutes or however long it is, you begin to do what I've taught you over the past 5 weeks. Now here's the great part of that, you got to get home somehow, right? I know some of you are accused of living at work, but you really do go home at least to take a shower. So you got 10 minutes there, you got 10 minutes back. What if you would take that time and begin to establish the kingdom of God in your life? Now, here's what I think will happen. I think as you do that, you begin to see the hand of God. I think you're going to expand that. I think you're going to start getting up earlier. I think you're going to start doing it. But if you just took that amount of time every day, let me ask you another question, and I'll ask for participation. How many of you believe your family's worth that much of your time? I would think that's unanimous. I think all of us think that. But the enemy tells us, oh, you don't have time, you can't do this. And I'm just challenging you. You're already there. You're already in that place. What would happen if you would begin to establish His kingdom, His authority, His righteousness in your life? You say, Pastor, shouldn't people be praying an hour a day long? That'd be wonderful. But I'd love it if I thought every person who walked through Love and True Church doors was praying 10 minutes a day. You know what I found out real quickly? I'll share this, we'll be done. If I get 144 people praying 10 minutes, that's 24 hours of prayer. We cover it. We make it happen in our lives and in our families. And so I challenge you, carpe diem. Seize the day for what God has for you. Amen.